It's recording. All right. Well, tonight, the Lord was on my heart to talk about relationships. Not too often. I don't know. Have you ever heard of a sermon or a message on relationships? Maybe at a retreat, maybe at your church, I don't know. But it seems like today, you can't get around having a relationship with somebody. Matter of fact, you're a hermit. You're totally living in a cave if you don't have a relationship with somebody, right? But I have seen so many relationships either go sour or, people are struggling in them. What's the divorce rate? And so we can just go on and on and on. How many friendships have been broken over misunderstandings or just things that maybe shouldn't have been said? And so tonight, the Lord has placed on my heart to talk about relationships, and I want to use, we're gonna learn how to find them to obtain them and to build them and also to reconcile if you have maybe a relationship that needs to be reconciled. And I pray that any of these things minister to you tonight. Here we go. Let's just start. Ecclesiastes 4:10 in the Contemporary English Version says this: if you fall, your friend can help you, but if you fall without having a friend nearby, you are really in trouble. We all need friends, right? And I'm a people person, so I love to be around people. Although there's so many different personalities, and I know some people don't like to be around people, but we need friendships. We can't handle things on our own. Oftentimes, we need to have that person we can call. First and foremost, we run to Jesus, right? He's our best friend and more. But we can also run to somebody who you know you can confide in. And that's really important. So we're all in need of friendships in life. But if we isolate ourselves from others, it's not healthy. And building healthy relationships takes time, but well worth it. If you want a friend, what do you need to be? Friendly, right? Right. I've heard some people say, I have no friends. Everywhere I go, or I don't even go anywhere. And I'm like, well, do you go out and try to meet friends? Well, no. What do you do when you see people? Well, I just kind of sit off to the side. You mean you're not really like friendly? So it takes to be friendly. If you're friendly and you're open and you want to have a friendship, it will happen. I can say this now because she's left the room, but I've got two daughters. They're both in high school this year, and my youngest is going to be a ninth grader, so coming out of junior high, going into high school, and she is not enjoying the thought, let's just put it that way, and she doesn't think she'll have friends. Last year, she did some online school, and she did some on-campus school, too. It was kind of both together, and really didn't have that many friends, and so we were talking about how to be friendly to people and to just to be open, I think that anybody out there, if you're kind to them and you're just open to them, to not reject them, you start already with the walls down, okay? But if you're going into life and you have walls up and you're afraid to get hurt, okay, maybe you've been hurt in your past before, or you're afraid that they reject you, get hurt, then oftentimes the friendship doesn't happen. And you might think that it's their fault, but let's look inward sometimes. Let's see what's going on inside of us. So we don't want to isolate ourselves. Building healthy relationships does take time, but well worth it. If you want a friend, you need to be friendly. So relationship building does cost us something, and the cost can be summed up into three categories. And so I want to talk about these categories. Time, energy, and transparency. So let's look at time. Time is one of the biggest things we wish we had more of. If only we could go through a drive-through and ask, okay, I'll have to take a caramel light frappuccino and maybe an extra 20 minutes. Wouldn't that be cool? Okay, here you go. That would be $5.95. But it seems like we're so busy in this hectic world, even with our smartphones and, little gadgets and stuff. it seems like we're even more busy. Okay? And I think oftentimes we forget a certain word in our vocabulary, and that's called no. In other words, we get so busy and we put all this on our plate. Because sometimes the enemy will use busyness and we think we're doing good. Right? But busyness oftentimes pushes us away to what's really a pressing and an important need or an opportunity in our life. And so I challenge you to look at your life. Remember when I spoke on pursue peace, and what is and I talked about peace robbers, and the number one peace robber was busyness. Okay? So it would not only rob us of peace, but it will rob us of our time. So take a look at your schedule and see what's really important to you. You know, are you fulfilling the goals that you had set out to do? Are you fellowshipping? Are you feeling isolated? Do you feel fulfilled in life? How about your relationship with Jesus? Are you spending time with God? And if we get so busy and we don't spend time with the Lord, I'm good. I'm okay. I'm strong. You will eventually get weak and not even realize it. Okay? And that's what happens even with our relationships. So time is really important. The biggest thing a friendship will cost us is time. Time spent with others, creating and building that relationship is essential for a lasting relationship. Friendships need to be nurtured. You know, they just don't happen. They just don't pop overnight, right? Maybe there's somebody that you wanted to be a friend with. Or maybe there's someone in your life that is a friend, but you're just not spending as much time. And that friendship is just like, it's not what I want it to be. Well, how much time are you putting into that friendship? If you're consistently too busy to give time to your friends, they will one day move on without you. Ensure you make friendships an important priority. Actively listen to your friends and show your interest and enthusiasm in their lives. I know of somebody who, when I talk to them, it's all about them. Do you know somebody in your life like that? And you really want them to see a little bigger picture, right? So I always think to myself, how would I want to be treated? And so when someone talks to me, I really want to listen and to be able to open my heart to their life. You know what I'm saying? So that it's just not all about me, but it's really about them. People know if you're real or not, right? They can sense it right away. And if you are someone who's, it's always about you, chances are people will see you and they'll go, oh, I'm going this way because you're coming this way, right? Okay. So we want to be open and be interested in their lives as well. What time can you give others? Can you take the time to pray with others? Can you take some time and just listen to others and their needs? Can you offer anything of yourself to help them? Can you spend maybe a lunch? Spend lunch with them. Go get a coffee. Can you take the time to go shopping with them? Now, us girls, we will be on that, right? Okay, maybe not all, but I would, especially if you give me the money, I'm on it, right? Can you let them know that they are important to you? When's the last time you told that special someone in your life, I love you? You know, when's the last time you spent time with that person? This week, my husband and I, Ron, we ships passing in the night almost. I give guitar lessons too, and I have a lot of students, and so on Mondays and Tuesdays, even up until 7:30 at night, I'm giving guitar lessons, so I don't get to see him very much. And then the poor guy, he gets up 4 o'clock in the morning to go ride his bike from the north side of Spokane to the valley and to go to work. He does that every day, and then he comes home. But you know, he gets up so early, and I'm busy on Mondays and Tuesdays. I was just like, I miss you. You know, we need to spend some time together. So when was the last time you got to spend time with that person that means a lot to you? So I want to take a little sidebar when we're talking about time. Because when we talk about time, it is the biggest factor of building a relationship with somebody. Okay? So I want to take this little sidebar. We're going to talk about building relationships for a second and just take a look at it and maybe see some of these factors could be in your life. Number one, 5 ways to building relationships is to be a friend, and we talked about that. Think about how you like to be treated, then offer the same to the people in your life. How many know that relationships, it's not all about getting? Have you been disappointed lately in a person? Maybe you've put high expectations in that relationship, and it was only on it's not a two-way street, it was a one-way street, and then you get disappointed, and then the other person is just kind of left there going, I don't know what's wrong, right? Okay, so we need to be a friend and to be there for each other. This is kind of like friendship 101. Number two, have realistic goals and expectations. So don't expect instant results. Good friends aren't made overnight. Sharing your deepest secrets in one night, especially when you first met them. You ever met somebody like that? All of a sudden you knew that they robbed a bank and then they did this and this and this. Okay. I remember one day I was at Walmart. That's a scary place. Okay, and I might have told you this example, but I was helping a lady. She had oxygen tank on and everything, or, you know, the oxygen on, and the tank was in the cart, and she was trying to get these big packages onto the table, the counter, so that she could pay for them, and she was having problems with it. So I thought, well, you know, I'm just going to help her. So I started helping her, but of course she freaked a little bit because I'm helping her. But it's okay. We just kind of start up a conversation. How you doing? My name's Chris. What's your name? That type of thing. And I was just friendly, okay? Instantly, she started telling me her woes. It just started pouring out. How many know what you pour in, once you are bumped a little bit, will start coming out, right? And to me, I felt like maybe she was just one of those people that just probably doesn't have people to talk to. But she started telling me about... she's on oxygen tank. So she started telling me about why she was on the oxygen tank and all these different surgeries she's had, which led into this, and now she has to take this medication and just all of this. And I'm thinking to myself, Lord, what can I say that's positive right now? And I said, you know what? I am so glad you're breathing. I am so glad you're alive right now. And then from there, just being friendly, she started going into her son. And the police came up on and drove up onto their house and, you know, and I'm visualizing the whole thing. And all I did was help her put things on the counter. But people want relationships, okay? But we have to be careful. Don't expect instant results. Don't expect to share deepest secrets. It may even drive the person away if you start sharing your deepest secrets right away, right? Let them trust you and you trust them. You know, and one thing about, especially if you're looking for a mate, you want to make sure that the person believes the same as you, right? Don't be unequally yoked. So if you're dating somebody who's not a Christian and you're a Christian, I'm going to tell you, I'm going to be Mama Chris right now. That's not okay, because you're going to end up in a world of hurt. And you're thinking, well, I can change them. You know what? They're going to end up changing you, okay? So that's just a sidebar, too. It may even drive the other person away. Take it slowly. Divulge safe secrets first and allow the relationship to hold some weight before you share the meatier issues in your life. Now, that probably is definitely a female thing. We can go on a retreat, and then all of a sudden we meet a friend, we click, and then wham! You end up sharing all these deep, dark secrets. Let's let the thing breathe and take some time. Have fun together. This is all on time. Under the category time. Have fun together. Find things that you like doing together. Learn to let the other person have their way and not always demand what you want to do. You know, it's kind of interesting because this whole subject tonight, usually I'm talking about a lot of deeper things, aren't I? Okay? But for some reason, I believe, even in my own life, you know, God wants us to look at the basics of relationships so that we can have a good foundation in our life and a good foundation, especially in our Christian life, okay? Who are you hanging around with? I'm not saying that we shouldn't be hanging around non-Christians because we want to be able to win them over and to tell them about Jesus. But who are your close friends? You know, if you are a Christian and you have a non-Christian, are they dragging you down? Are they trying to drag you astray? So these are some things to think about. You become who you hang around with, don't you? Mm-hmm. You do. Okay. No. It's because I'm looking in your direction. Doesn't mean, unless you're feeling guilty. Mm-hmm. Yeah, one thing about Hope Fellowship is they make comments. You know, I'm talking and all of a sudden they'll start commenting or asking questions.
I wore my tennis shoes, not my sandals.
All right, you guys, always, I've got to get back on track here. So have fun together. Learn to let the other person have their way. Don't always demand your own way. Number 4, be positive. Curb the urge to criticize. How easy it is that we start getting together with someone who we're close to, and we start telling them our frustrations about so-and-so, right? Yeah. You know, I'm going to be speaking this Sunday. Are you ready for this title for Sunday's message? Grace is a greasy arrow.
There it is.
There it is. God gave me that one day when I was waking up, and the whole word, the phrase, grace is a greasy arrow, and I woke up and I go, what does that mean, Lord? That just doesn't sound right, you know? So if you're interested, you need to come on Sunday. But one thing about one of the points on Sunday is this, because of curbing the urge to criticize and to be positive, do you know that when we criticize, it pushes us away from God?
Absolutely.
It really does. Because do you know that God sent his son to die for you and me, for people? He didn't send his son for chairs. He didn't send his son for animals, right? He sent his son for people. And when we start criticizing his people, the very people he came to die for, it's on the top of his list, a priority list. Number 1, people. And so we don't want to criticize. You see what I'm saying? Because it pushes us away from the very thing that God created. So that's just one reason not to criticize, which is a huge reason to me. How many want to live to please the Lord every day? Yeah, me too. So let's just let the criticism go away. I'll find myself getting ready to say something. I'll go, okay. Constantly griping about the failures and weaknesses of other people can make your listener feel wary of you or weary. How do they know you aren't complaining about their flaws when they're not around? Mm-hmm. Be somebody who you want in your life. Does that make sense? Well, that's a weird one, huh? Okay. So let's be careful with our criticism. Let's encourage one another. How many know that you can probably be the best cheerleader for everybody else, but what about yourself, right? So learn to encourage not only yourself, but encourage other people. Be a help, never a hindrance. Jesus never rejects. Do you know that? I can be the worst of sinners, and I can come to him, and I can ask, I need you. I need a Savior. I need your forgiveness. I need you to forgive the bad things in my life. When my oldest daughter was 2 years old, she was in the car with me one day, and she was asking, and I'm going to use this illustration on Sunday as well, but she was saying, in a two-year-old's voice, what does it mean to have Jesus in your heart? That's what she was asking. And so I was trying to bring it down to a two-year-old's perspective. Okay, so she's 17. She will be 17 next week. So this was 15 years ago. And so I told her, I said, well, it's just asking Jesus in your heart is to say, Jesus, come and live in my heart. Forgive the bad things I've done. You know, please wash them away. I'm sorry. And live there forever. And I want to do what you want me to do. Kind of in a nutshell what I told her. So she closed her eyes and she prayed, come in my heart. And then she said, and the bad things. Now, That's a two-year-old, okay? But the perspective was, she totally got it. And it was a huge moment for this mama, let me tell you. Because my two-year-old has accepted Jesus in her heart as Lord and Savior, and I was there! So, yes. But we never want to be a hindrance, right? Not only, relationships can be a friend, relationships can be our spouse, relationship can be our children. You know, what are we doing with our relationships with our kids? Are we nurturing them? Are we listening to them? Are we taking time, this whole category of building relationships? Are we taking time with them? They're people too, right? Children are our tomorrow, so we want to make sure we take care of them today. I could preach, I'm just saying. All right. On that line, can you hand me my Bible just for a second? I had printed out something really quick, and this is some thoughts to say, not only to your children, but maybe you need to say it to yourself or even to a friend, a co-worker. These are 98 ways to say very good. Have you ever told someone, hey, you did a good job? I'm for you. You're going to make it. You know? How easy it is to tear somebody down. Let's build people up. Amen. I'm into kingdom building. All right? So here's some thoughts. This is actually a list. 98 things that a teacher would say to a student. Okay? But these are things that we can actually say and truly mean it to the people in our lives. And you can put it in the age appropriate. Rephrase it however you want it for them. But... okay. I did get it offline. Online. Okay, let me just read the little title. If a child lives with encouragement, he learns confidence. If a child lives with praise, he learns to appreciate. If a child lives with approval, he learns to like himself. If a child lives with acceptance and friendship, he learns to find love in this world. Amen. All right? And it starts at an early age, just like I was telling you about my two-year-old that now is a 17-year-old. I think I typed up another subject about encouraging, and this came up, and I copied and pasted it, so I don't even know what website I got it from. So sorry. Do you forgive me, Ann? We're still in relationship. All right. Here's some thoughts.
I guess there's need to be more time after this.
Yeah. We'll spend some time together, all right? All right. There you go. That was coming from the spouse's husband back there. Okay. Here's some things. You've got it made, or you're on the right track. Good job. Good thinking. You really make being a parent or a teacher fun. Man, you're just making my life easy. You're just doing awesome. You know, do you say these things to your kids? That's very much better. That's what it says. I'm happy to see you working like that. You're doing a good job. That's the best you've ever done. I knew you could do it. Clever. Okay. These are just simple things, all right? What would you say to your spouse? Be careful.
The best wife.
Yeah. I so appreciate you. I love you. I like it when we're together. I like who we are together. You ever said that with your spouse? Maybe you should. I like it when we're together and when we talk. Or
you complete me.
Okay.
I just seem like it worked.
Put that away, buddy. These are just ideas, but we just need to learn to encourage each other. Be positive, and it's all under not being critical. Have you told your spouse or have you told your friend some positive things in life? Or are you always just there saying, what'd you do that for? Huh? Or have you, you know, things like, man, if you were here on time, we would have made it. Okay, those type of things are criticizing, right? Even though you don't say, I don't like the way you look and you smell. Okay, that's a more of a personal thing. Don't ever say that to me. Okay. But let's think about what comes out of our mouth. I'm telling you, I am the worst sinner sometimes when it comes to that. And after it's out there, you're going, oh, why did I do that? Right? So let's just be careful with the words we're choosing. Let's don't criticize. People have enough criticism, have enough junk in this world to deal with. They don't need to come home, or they don't need to be with their friend and hear more criticism. If it's about you or not, if it's about somebody else, they just don't need to hear it. And then all of a sudden, if you're criticizing, gossiping about somebody else, then all, and they don't know that person, then all their viewpoint has started to be slanted in a critical way towards that person, and they haven't even met them before. All right? So, little simple things. And number five, listen more, speak.
Listen more.
Thank you. It should be listen more, speak less, right? All right. Listen to what others are saying rather than focusing on your own self-consciousness. No one wants a self-absorbed friend. I wish I had a statistic. On an average, every person, how often we think about ourselves. Some of us 100% of the time a day, right? So let's listen more than we speak. There you go. All right. Attitudes to others. We can drive potential friends away by demanding they share our attitudes or our beliefs or our behaviors. If you accept that other people have a right to be different from you, then you open yourself up to possibilities of experiencing relationships that bring a fresh perspective to your life. How many people are different than your perspective and they're your friend? Okay, I have quite a few of those. And it's good. It kind of keeps you in balance. On our leadership team, we don't have a bunch of yes people. We have people that have their own opinion, and that's good. Okay? So we need fresh perspectives. Don't gossip. Potential friends aren't going to trust you if you constantly gossip to them about the trials and tribulations of other people. Let's pray about this. Right? I'm not gossiping. We're going to pray. No. No, you're gossiping. Period. Right? Right. Okay.
Amen.
Okay, you can stay. How much do we owe him? Don't compromise yourself. Each one of us has standards of morality and behavior. Don't allow yourself to compromise yourself for the sake of fitting in or to be liked. I went on my 30-year high school reunion a week or so ago. And I watched these people. Still had some cliques, all right? But for the most part, everybody is just kind of like, here we are. But I watched them, and they would drink or they would do whatever. And even some of my Christian friends kind of just went along with it. And I'm like, I can't, you know. I got my Diet Pepsi, and I'm good to go. Because we don't want to compromise what we believe. Do you know that people are watching you? And if they know you're a Christian, and you do something that is questionable, then they all of a sudden start questioning, is that how a Christian should be? Especially if they're young, okay? So let's be careful in our actions. Don't compromise yourself. If you have to be doing it in secret, then don't do it. Let me give you an example. Maybe you're at work. Boss isn't around. I'm going to go on the internet. Oops, boss is here. Chick-a-pah. Right? And you hide it. Well, because then the boss will know that you weren't doing the work, right? Or whatever you were watching on the internet. If you have to do it in secret, don't do it. Because it's easier. It's not even easier. It's not even an issue with you if you don't have to deal with that or explain your actions, or maybe you were looking at something that you weren't supposed to, okay? So if you do it in secret and you have to hide it, there's something wrong with it. Am I right? Okay? So you want to be able to do it and your boss is there. You want to be able to do it and your grandchildren are there. You want to be able to do it and your spouse is there, okay? So don't compromise yourself. All right. That's all under time and building relationships. Now we have energy. Don't expect a friendship to just happen. It takes energy to build a healthy relationship. Anything that is worthwhile will take time and energy. Be proactive in starting a friendship. Don't wait around for people to introduce themselves to you. You need to introduce yourself to them. But Pastor Chris, I'm an introvert. You just don't understand me. You know, I was reading Joyce Myers today, and she was talking about managing your emotions. Not that I need to. I'm just reading it. I'm kidding. I was reading it, okay, and it was talking about the different personalities, and her husband and her, and one's a choleric and one is a sanguine, I think. Anyway, it doesn't really matter. She's just very outward, and she says how she feels, and he's very quiet, and he really thinks before he speaks. And so often, God puts these two together. Thus, my husband and me. Yes, okay? So she was saying it's just as hard for her to keep her mouth shut as it is for her husband to step out and to be a little more outgoing. You see the difference? But we both need to do it, okay? So if you're the person that, well, that's just my personality. I really don't talk to people. I'm too afraid, you know.
It's not a fruit of the Spirit.
Thank you. It's not a, and so, elaborate.
So like me to elaborate?
Yeah.
I think the gospel is an including gospel. Mm-hmm. It's bringing people in. It's not what I say. I think isolation is rooted out of one of two things, either shame or fear. Both of them know.
Yes, I'm open to stuff like that, so thank you. Yeah. Serious. Do you want the fruit of the Spirit in your life? And so that's one of them, okay? Isolation is from the devil. Do you know that? He wants to isolate you away, away, away. Remember the wolf in sheep's clothing. We'll just get that one sheep over to the side and then just attack. Get it away from the herd, right? So, and then all of a sudden we start our bombarding with the whole junk in our mind and the things that we have to deal with in our mind, and we're all by ourselves. And then we don't have that friend, like we talked about that very first verse, who will lift us up when one of us falls. Okay? So, and that's not what God created us to do. So be proactive. And so the two of those personalities both have to come together. You have someone who's really outgoing, someone who's really quiet, and each of them have to make effort. Each of them. I would have to be a little less talkative, and my husband hopefully will be a little more talkative. I mean, you know, it takes it. It takes it. We need to do that. And so, again, Joyce Myers was talking about that this morning when I was reading in my devotions, but it was just really good stuff. You have something to offer. God didn't create junk when he created you. You know, you and who you are is what somebody else might need in their life. Do you know that? Okay. So don't think, well, they really don't want to talk to me. No, that's the enemy saying that to you. You know what? Just go out and just offer who you are, because Jesus didn't create junk, okay? And then you just love on them, take the walls down. When I go and speak somewhere, that's what I do first. I just totally just love people. I'm not ready for, they don't need to cater to me. Mm-mm. I want to come to them. I want to find out about them. I want to love on them. And one time I was in Roseburg, Oregon, and I started doing that to people. And this one lady goes, "You're our speaker? Oh, cool, I like you already." Well, all of a sudden the walls are down. Okay? So if you want, just love on people. If my toes get stepped on and I'm loving on someone, or if I'm rejected, it actually, it's not a reflection off of me. I see where they're at. Do you know what I'm saying? And so then I just know maybe I'll do a different approach to that person. Not that it's my goal to totally overtake them, but my goal is to just be able to come in, break down that wall, and to touch them in Jesus' name. Okay. Just look at his character, God, and you will find some of those qualities in you. Use those qualities to reach out to others. Those qualities are the tools that God has given you to be fruitful in your life and to others. Okay? How many want to be more like Jesus? Have you prayed that prayer? I have. Okay, so now he's taking it at your word. Okay, and so we're being more like Jesus. And he's coming in and more of his character is starting to show in the fruit of the Spirit or the different, we're walking in the Spirit, not the flesh, right? Okay, so then how much more do I have confidence? Not in Chris. My confidence is in God who flows through me because I'm becoming more like him. And because I'm following his word, if I had my Bible, I'd lift it up. You know, I'm following his word and I'm walking in obedience. Is that right? Thank you. Okay, so God doesn't create junk. And so if we don't walk in that, and we think it's not good enough, then you're actually slapping God in the face. Do you know that? Because he created you. He wanted you to be born in during this generation. Okay? If he didn't, you wouldn't be here. So as long as you're breathing and you can hear me talk, he wanted you here. Sometimes a friend may do something of which you don't approve. Put yourself in their shoes. Would you want condemnation or forgiveness from those who are supposed to love and care for you? If God is asking you to speak truth in their lives, and sometimes we do that with people. Sometimes God's pricking our heart and we need to just, you know, your friend is walking really close to the cliff and they're going to walk off. And sometimes God is saying you need to go and tell them that cliff is there. And not only tell them, but bring them back. You know, you just feel that in your spirit. So that actually causes, I mean, it's almost like correction. And sometimes people, especially adults, don't do well with correction. Sometimes they do. And so bathe it in prayer. If that's what God is asking you to do, okay, and this is the all under energy part, but bathe it in prayer first. And always do it with a loving heart. Okay? Okay, transparency. Be you. Don't be anybody else. Don't worry if you think people won't like you. Be who God created you to be. Let go of anything in your past that would bind you up from being a good friend. If you're worried about rejection in starting a friendship, remember that others are feeling the same way. Okay? If there's something in your life, maybe as a child, you went through something. You know, in my case, I didn't have a dad when I was growing up. And so, and I always felt like something was wrong with me. Well, then my coping mechanism at the time was, oftentimes I'd put up walls, or I would be very loud and defend myself, or I would hurt somebody before they hurt me. You ever done anything like that? All right, well, I'm telling you, then you bring it into your adult life, and then you want friends. I'm just using that as an example, but you could think about yourself. I've heard people say, I can make friends, but they just don't stay. Okay, well, there's a reason why. So it's not fun sometimes to take a sober look at ourselves, is it? And we don't want to be totally self-absorbed like I talked about. But there's times when we got to look at, okay, if this is the pattern that keeps on going on in my life, maybe there's something that I'm doing or not doing that is affecting a friendship that's starting to be really good, and then all of a sudden it just goes sour. So in my situation, it was like, wow, I would put up walls or push people away or leave before they, you know, could hurt me, so to speak. And that is totally bringing in bad behavior into a friendship, and the relationship will go sour.
I was just going to say something I've found is that a lot of people, they'll only allow themselves, they'll only let people love them to the point at which they love themselves, and then they'll automatically sabotage their relationship if somebody tries to love them more than you love yourself. Mm-hmm. And it may not even be a thing you're doing, it's just you don't love yourself, so you can't allow people to love you.
So
if they love you more than you love yourself, it makes you, that's where you get into your own comfort zone.
Right. Because then what we do with the scripture, love your neighbor as yourself. You know, there's something to that about being able to love yourself. You don't, I'm not going to have you raise your hand, but just think, do you love yourself?
I think also it's a supernatural thing. Like, I work with a lot of young people mm-hmm. that have issues with identity. And sometimes it really is a supernatural thing. They really need healing. As Jesus heals them and they have a glimpse of how much he loves them, then they can start loving themselves if they've been hurt or harmed or abused. But Right. Just like you have to bring in the supernatural.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sometimes it's not, no matter what we have to say, it's not going to matter. They really need to experience the love of God.
Right. Right. So, with that said, if you have areas in your life as an adult or as the age you are, and you realize, I need healing, I have tried, I can't overcome this. You know, maybe you were raped when you were young. That's a huge thing, isn't it? Then you're afraid to get close to anybody. I mean, that's just a huge basic example. I've seen God heal. I've seen more emotional healings than I've actually seen than the physical healings, okay? But that's what God does. And so allow God your heart. Allow God to be able to come in, even those tender things that maybe you wouldn't even tell people. He knows anyway, doesn't he? And so allow him to start, you know, say, Lord, I need you to heal me. I can't do this on my own, the supernatural part. You know, I need you to touch me and to, I'm broken and I need you to restore me or whatever it might be. And I have seen more healings in that area. I'm a person that I like to soak. You ever heard that phrase? Okay. And so I'll just, during my prayer time in the morning, I'll turn on the Riveras or something like that. And I'll just go in there and I'll just worship and I'll soak for a while. And I did that this morning. But it was just, oftentimes I don't even ask for anything. I'm just so in love with the Lord, you know. And you're just, he does things to your heart. You can't explain, but you walk away changed. Okay. And when that means, when I say soak, if you've never heard that term, it just means that I turn on some really nice worship music that I like. So turn on worship music that you like. And in my situation, I go into my room and I like to lay prostrate. And then I put like a blanket over me. And the music is actually on the floor on a CD player, right? Actually by my head. But some people like to be on their bed. Some people like to stand. Some people, whatever. But to soak, you want to be able to relax. And you want to be able to just, if the person is singing or if the person's not singing, you just focus on Jesus and you think about how good he is. I know it's even hard to explain sometimes, you know, how to soak. But you just, you're not in a hurry.
It's like cuddling with God.
Mm-hmm. It's good. Yeah. And oftentimes, that's when you get healed. I can think of many times being in my bedroom all by myself. And all of a sudden, I just felt different. My perspective on this situation or my perspective of who I was in this, was it just was different. Because he might show you who you are. He might change your perspective on your outlook of life. And that's what I tell people, especially when they're struggling with really a hard-pressed issue in their life. I say, just turn on some worship music and just find time with Jesus. Because I can't heal you, but he sure can. And he does things that I can't, it just amazes me. Anne?
Jesus loves that time with you too.
Yeah. He does.
It's an intimate. It brings you closer and more
to Jesus. Mm-hmm. It does. How many has ever soaked before? Have you soaked?
Every day.
Right on. It's a good place, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.